ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 22, Texts 15 and 16, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Which verse is written on the board? Which number? Okay, so we'll chant that and then I'll read the verse also. Remind me if I forget, please. Shri Prahradaha Uvacha Tvaya eva dattam padam aindram urjitam haritam tat eva adya tatha eva shobhanam manye mahan asya kritaha hi anugrahaha vibhrangshitaha yat shriyaha atma mohanat shri prahraduvacha tvaya eva dattam padamaindramurjitam hritang tad evadya tathaiva shobhanam manye mahan asya krito hyanugraho vibhrangshito yachriya atma mohanat shri prahraduvacha tvaya eva dattam padamaindramurjitam hritang tad evadya tathaiva shobhanam manye mahan asya krito hyanugraho vibhrangshito yachriya atma mohanat Shri Praharadu Vacha Tvaya eva dattam padamaindra murjitam Hritang tada eva adya tataiva shobhanam Manye mahanasya krito hyanugraho Vibhrangshito yachriya atma mohanat. Tvaya eva dattam padamaindra murjitam. Hritang tad eva adya tataiva shobhanam. Manye mahanasya krito hyanugraho Vibhrangshito yachriya atma mohanat Shri Prahradu Vacha Tvaya eva dattam padamaindra murjitam Vidang tvadeva jatava sobhanam Mahanye mahanasya krito hyanugraho Vibhrangshito yachriya atma mohanat Shri Praharadu Vacha Tvaya eva dattam padama indramurjitam Ritang tadeva jatataiva shobhanam Manye mahanasya krito hyanugraho Vibhangshito yachriya atma mohanat. Ladies, Sri Prahlada uvacha Tvaya eva dattam padamaindramurjitam Ritang tadeva jatataiva shobhanam Manye mahanasya krito hyanugraho Vibhangshito yachriya atma mohanat Shri Prahlada uvacha Tvaya eva dattam padamaindramurjitam Ritang tadeva jatataiva shobhanam Manye mahanasya krito hyanugraho Vibhangshito yachriya atma mohanat Shri Prahradaha uvacha Prahlada Maharaja said, Tvaya, by your lordship, eva, indeed, dattam, which had been given, padam, this position, aindram, of the King of Heaven, urjitam, very, very great, Hritam has been taken away. Tat, that. Eva, indeed. Adya, today. Tatha, as. Eva, indeed. Shobhanam, beautiful. Manye, I consider. Mahan, very great. Asya, of him, Bali Maharaja. Kritaha, has been done by you. He, indeed. Anugraha, mercy. Vibhangshitaha, being bereft of. Yet, because. Shriyaha, from that opulence. Atma Mohanat, which was covering the process of self-realization. Before I read the verse translation of this verse, I'll read the verse translation of the previous verse. Text 15. When the great personality Prahlad Maharaj saw that the Supreme Lord was sitting there, surrounded and worshipped by his intimate associates like Sunanda, he was overwhelmed with tears of jubilation. Approaching the Lord and falling to the ground, he offered obeisances to the Lord with his head. Text 16. Prahlad Maharaj said, My Lord, it is your Lordship who gave this Bali the very great opulence of the post of heavenly king, and now today it is you who have taken it all away. I think you have acted with equal beauty in both ways. Because his exalted position as King of Heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance, you have done him a very merciful favor by taking away all his opulence. Purport, as it is said, Yas yaham anugrahnami harishye tadhanang shanaihi. Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 88, Text 8. It is by the mercy of the Lord that one gets all material opulence, but if such material opulence causes one to become puffed up and forget the process of self-realization, the Lord certainly takes all the opulence away. The Lord bestows mercy upon his devotee by helping him find out his constitutional position. For that purpose, the Lord is always ready to help the devotee in every way. But material opulence is sometimes dangerous because it diverts one's attention to false prestige by giving one the impression that he is the owner and master of everything he surveys, although actually this is not the fact. To protect the devotee from such a misunderstanding, the Lord, showing special mercy, sometimes takes away his material possessions. Yas yaham anugrahnami harishe taddhanam shanaihi. Om agyanati mirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurin nilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Nama shreshtam manum api shachi putram atra swarupam rupam tasya grajamurupurim maturim goshtavatim radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tamnatosmi. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Sha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It had appeared that Bali Maharaj was in an unassailable situation of suzerainty over the whole universe. In a moment, it was finished. And the outcome appeared to be not at all good for Bali or for the demons. Prahlad Maharaj has arrived and he gives the proper perspective, not from the demon's perspective. Even devotees might think that, well, what's the use of being a devotee if he just takes everything away from you? People go to Tirupati, or they used to go, I don't know if they're still going in all this COVID scare. They don't pray, take away all my opulence. They say, give me opulence. Who prays, take it all away? Who dares to pray like that? Everyone's trying to get more and more, and Vaman sows, he's completely merciless by taking it all away. But Prahlad Maharaj gives the right understanding. This is his mercy. People think that question comes up later in the Bhagavatam. It appears that it's a great paradox how Lord Vishnu is Satpati. Isn't that this verse or the previous verse or the next verse? Satpati. He's the Lord of the devotees. He's also well known as Sripati, the Lord of all opulence, the Lord of the goddess of fortune. But his devotees appear to be often poverty stricken, whereas Lord Shiva, he's in charge of the material manifestation of all opulence, who he's Umapati, the husband of the one who everyone goes to and prays for, Dhanam Dehi, Rupam Dehi, Yasham Dehi, all these things. But he himself prefers to live in poverty. Doesn't even have a house to live in. But his devotees appear to be doing very well in the material world. So it's a great paradox. how the mercy of the Lord is that he takes everything away. That's his special mercy, if he takes everything away. He may give. People come to him, our authority. They come to him looking for money. He may give it, but his real mercy is that he does whatever is required for the devotee to come to him, which doesn't amount to giving. It's more taking from them their material possessions, not giving. He may give to the Artharati, someone who has material desires. He may give them something to increase their faith in him, but he doesn't give in such he doesn't give in such a way that they'll become totally bewildered, or if they do, he then takes it away. If he's giving his full mercy. Bali was in the illusion of thinking that I've conquered over the heavenly planets. We'll see in the next verse. The translation begins. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. So it may be even a great personality as Bali, at least superficially, becomes bewildered in the matter of self-realization. He's heard from Prahlad Maharaj, but he's thinking, yeah, I'm in control here. No one can do anything. There's nothing anyone can do to take away his opulence. Indra's kicked out. He's doing in great splendor. He's performing sacrifices, and suddenly it's all over. But Prahlad gives, he's the Mahajan. Bali's also a Mahajan for his great surrender. And Prahlad is giving, Mahajan, he's giving the proper understanding. Otherwise we wouldn't understand. These stories are well known, these stories of Nrsimha appearing and Vamana appearing. They appear in other Puranas also. We have Nrsimha Purana, Vamana Purana. Vamana Purana is, as far as I remember, one of those which is classified among the Tamasic Puranas. There's a lot of discussion of Lord Shiva there. Also describes the appearance of Vamana Dev, but we don't get the insight, the understanding, the bhakti siddhanta, as we get it here in Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, the ultimate siddhanta of Bhagavatam, premapumartho mahan, that is revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the real message of the Bhagavatam, which means the real essence of the Vedic literature, because this is nigama kalpa tara galitam palam, the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literature, is love. That I was talking about the other day. There's love. Love specifically means Krishna Vishayak Prema Param Purusharta Jar Age Trina Tula Chari Purusharta. The real goal of life, the highest goal of life for all human beings, is to attain or reawaken the love specifically for Krishna, Krishna Vishayak Prema. Love that is centered on Krishna, in comparison with which all the great aims of human life, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation, are no more significant than straw in the street. So this is the understanding that can be gleaned from the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially if one sees it through the eyes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're all meant for love. We're meant to live for love, but love means for Krishna. We like to hear about love. It's very sweet. It's very attractive. We may not like to hear about surrender very much. This whole section of the Bhagavatam is centered on Bali Maharaj's surrender to the Lord. The previous chapter is titled, Bali Maharaj Surrenders the Universe. This chapter is titled, Bali Maharaj Surrenders His Life. It's hard. It may not sound so sweet. It sounds unattractive, painful. It wasn't easy. No doubt it's not easy to surrender. We have the narration in the Mahabharata of Karna. He was born with armor attached to his skin. And Indra, by a trick, pretending to be a Brahmana, he asked him to give that Brahmana. So he had to cut it off his body and give it. Surrendered. Datta Karna. He's famous as a philanthropist. So the love part is very nice to hear about. The surrender part is can be hard. But actually love is sweet, but before love comes surrender. We have at the end of Bhagavatam, at the end of Gita, Bhagavad Gita, Savadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. Give up all your ideas and just surrender to me. That gives us entrance into Srimad Bhagavatam, which develops the understanding of Bhagavad Gita, establishing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the very first verse, kicking out in the second verse all ideas except surrender to Krishna. And in the third verse, indicating the third specialty of Bhagavatam, rasa, prema, love of Krishna. So these three verses, they summarize the three topics of Bhagavatam. Sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. They give an insight into that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu analyzed that all the Vedic literatures, they're about sambandha, knowing what is our relationship with Krishna. He's the Supreme. Okay, I'm not the Supreme. I'm his servant. How to serve him. And love, pure love of Krishna. But before love comes surrender. So surrender is sweet when we do it. But doing it might be very hard. But it's superfluous to speak of love without surrender. Then it becomes a sentiment, a feeling. It's not real. Love can be hard also. Tough love, there's a phrase, tough love. When you're very hard on someone for their own benefit, they may not feel it as being very loving. Srila Prabhupada related an anecdote of the mother beating the son because the son had fed his elder brother paratha. Well, that's a good thing to do, isn't it? He did it, the younger son did it out of love, but the request of the elder son puts him in a dharma sankat, doesn't it? Because if the elder son tells you to do something and the mother tells you to do something else, it puts you in a difficult situation. But the elder brother was saying, paratha, I'm hungry, can you get some for me? And the mother saying, no, because he has typhoid that may kill him. So when she finds out the younger son has given the paratha, she beats him and yelling at him, and the boy's screaming and doesn't seem like the mother's loving. Doesn't seem like she's loving the elder son either. But it's love, because she wants the elder son to live, not to die. And then she has to punish the younger son so he doesn't transgress her order, which is for the ultimate good of both the sons involved. And the younger son doesn't think, while the mother's beating, he doesn't understand why, but he doesn't stop thinking that the mother loves me. He can't understand at all why. Sometimes the parents say, just do what I say, because often the children will say, why? And they don't understand why. And it can be very hard to tell. And they just say, just do what I say, that's all. So at the end of the Gita, Krishna says, okay, I explained everything to you, yeah. And if you can't understand it, just do what I say anyway. Just give up all your wrong ideas and just do what I say. Like talking to a child. If we can't understand, just do what he says, with the understanding that if we do so, that will be for our ultimate good. Sometimes we hear, at least I hear especially, because here in South India I don't understand the languages. So sometimes I hear the mother speaking to the child, and I can't understand what they're saying. The child may be a little distance, the mother is calling out. And I can't understand what they're saying in the language, but in some ways you get some insight into how the mother's speaking in a commanding tone, but it's with affection. And the son is replying, and there's intimate trust is there between them. There's a relationship of intimate trust, even though I can't understand the language or what they're talking about, and it's probably something very trivial, but just hearing them, we can understand there's a relationship of love, and who's senior, and obviously the son is junior, and he has to respond to her in a manner that is obedience, but it's based on complete trust that whatever the mother is saying is for my good. And neither of them thinking of that. Neither of them are thinking, I just read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and it's something like Vatsalya Ras. They're not thinking like that. It's just automatic. And of course, in the Leela, when Krishna is dealing with his devotees, they don't think, oh, that's a Sanchari Bhav. This is an Anubhav. They don't think like that. Later they come back again, especially Rup Goswami, he analyzes it all and thinks, oh, that's wonderful. Look what's going on. You see, there's a Sthai Bhav, Anubhav, Udipan. Wow, it's really, they analyze it. But when they're doing it, they don't think, they never think. They never had the residence of Hall of Vrindavan is full of these Udipan, these stimuli for loves of Krishna. Hall of Vrindavan itself is stimulus and everything in it. All of the elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, everything is stimulant for love of Krishna, but most probably no one in Vrindavan even heard the word Udipana. They don't even know what it is. They never think about it. They just love Krishna, that's all. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he points to love of Krishna. But the surrendering part, that's the difficult part. Once Indrajumna Swami told this story many times. He had arrived at the airport, flying, I believe, from Detroit to London. He was on the same plane with Srila Prabhupada, and somehow or other he was thinking it'd be wonderful when we arrive in London. There'll be a huge kirtan, then we'll go with Prabhupada to the temple, we'll have another huge kirtan, and then we'll hear Prabhupada's class, and then there'll be a big feast. But as it happened, he was assigned to pick up the luggage, and the luggage was lost, and so he had to stay. He missed all the reception at the airport. He had to stay behind. He missed all the lecture at the temple. And he had to struggle with these huge suitcases and bring them, heavy suitcases, even though he was a young man at the time. But he was thinking, well, at least when I get there, I'm starving, I'll get a feast. So he got to the temple with great effort, carrying the suitcases, put them down, and saw a devotee and said, the feast? I said, yeah, it was a great feast, wasn't it? All pakoras and rasgulas, halava and pushpana. And it was great, wasn't it? Is there any left? No, he went away. And so he was left to carry the bags, heavy bags, up the stairs, put them down outside Prabhupada's room, and thinking, I really had no luck today. I thought I was going to, it's going to be so blissful. Instead, I missed everything and just, I even missed the prasad and heavy bags to carry. So he thought he'd offer his obeisances outside Prabhupada's room. And then he feels this whack on his back. He said, oh no, now what next? Someone's smashed me on the back. He looks up, it's Prabhupada, who'd come out of his room. And Srila Prabhupada obviously didn't know anything by the normal method of what he'd been through. But Prabhupada said, in the material world, there are so many difficulties. But when you go back to Godhead, there are no more difficulties. But we may think, oh, okay, I'll surrender, then no more problems. I'll surrender to Krishna, and then all my family problems will be over. Krishna is, after all, the husband of the goddess of fortune, so I'll pay off all my debts, and everything will be very nice. But we see here in the case of Bali Maharaj, he surrendered, and things got worse. He surrendered everything, and then he got tied up. That's still to come. He got tied up and then thrown down to hell, and just gets worse and worse and worse. But that also serves to illustrate more how Bali is completely surrendered to Krishna. There's no point in which he says, enough. Enough of all this. Shukra was right. I'm going back to being a demon again. I've had enough of all this Krishna consciousness. He never says that. He never thinks of saying that. He's a natural devotee. The great devotees, we have so many, the Vedic literature is full of all the examples of great devotees who are fully surrendered to Krishna without any personal desire. We're just going through the Ramayana. Bharat comes back to Ayodhya, and his mother tells him, okay, now you're the king. He said, forget it, you witch. He chastised his mother. I'm not going to take the king. He had all the opportunity to enjoy the kingdom. No one would have questioned him, at least openly. Even they thought, well, Ram's gone, and we didn't want him to go, but he's gone, so Lakshman's gone, and we didn't want him to go either, so we need a king, so Bharat should be the king. And Bharat said, no. He had all opportunity to enjoy everything, but he insisted, I'm going to go and bring Ram back, and I'll stay in the forest. But Ram wouldn't let him. But even then, he didn't take the position of the king. He'll say, I'll stay outside, I'll live the way Ram is living, even not as nicely as Ram. Ram had nice forest fruits and all this and that, and he was just taking some barley soaked in cow urine or something like that. So he completely surrendered. That his own happiness he didn't care for at all. His happiness was in the happiness of Ram, and it was not going to enjoy separately under any circumstances. Even Ram told him, you go back and be the king. No, cannot accept. Naturally surrendered. Hanuman came later. Bharat, you might say, well, he had a family relationship. But Hanuman, there was no family relationship. There was not even the same species from a biological point of view. Of course, they didn't study biology in the schools in those days. There was Treta Yuga, better than Kali Yuga. So Hanuman, he was immediately fully surrendered to Rama. Just everything he did was for the pleasure of Rama. And he's so blissful by doing so that when we say even today the name Hanuman, immediately everyone becomes very happy, isn't it? When we think of Hanuman, immediately we become very happy because he's so blissful in love of Krishna. You're fully surrendered. So this is the message. This is not that there's not a message of love, but the message is that the message of this section of Bhagavatam, we have to surrender to Krishna. Very simple. It may seem very hard to do, but we have to do it. the whole process of Krishna consciousness that we're undergoing is called Sharanagati, the way of taking shelter of the Lord, which Srila Prabhupada would translate as surrender. Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Go to me only for shelter, Krishna says. And then how do you go for shelter? The shelter means that one has to surrender to him. One can't be sheltered and at the same time independent. It means giving up all one's independence. We may make excuses. We have so many excuses. Well, I have this to do, I have this and that. I have to chant my rounds, I can't surrender. We can use devotional service even as an excuse. Vamana came and Bali could have said, let me think about it. Let's have a look at the astrology chart. It's not a very auspicious time to surrender. Let's wait for something else to happen. Or wait for the time to come. You can make so many excuses. You can have Vedic excuses also. My guru told me it's the best Vedic excuse you can get. But he didn't do that. We can imagine Vamana came walking all the way up to Bali. Bali says no, and then Vamana will walk away again. Then what will he say? He'll go back to Aditi and say, well, I tried. What's plan B? Okay. Call Nrsimha again. I don't know. I don't know the mind of the Lord, but he was confident, of course. Vamana was confident that Bali would surrender. We don't know. Arjuna at the end, when Krishna said to him, so what do you want to do? Yatejasi Tathakuru. Arjuna could have said, well, Krishna, that was a nice talk you gave, but goodbye. He could. You don't know. Then we get a different story. Mahabharata would come out differently. But he didn't. Krishna was confident. He spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. I'm speaking this to you. Why bhakto sime sakha cheti? Why am I speaking it to you? What is that? Where does that verse begin? Huh? No. I'm speaking the bhakto sime sakha cheti. See, we're all stupid. It's the point of having a guru who forgets the verses. Saiva yangmayate dya yoga prokta puratanaha bhaktosi me sakacheti rahasyam hiyetadu tamam. So you have to be on your toes. Remember the verses. So I'm speaking this knowledge to you because you're my devotee as well as my friend. He could have called, so hey Yudhishthir, you're a good philosopher. Come, I'll speak Bhagavad Gita to you. And then Arjuna can listen also. He didn't. Arjuna, of course, Yudhishthira is also a devotee and friend, but particularly among all the Pandavas, Arjuna was very close to Krishna, among all the five. And Arjuna was having a hard time also to understand. And He said, I'm surrendered to you in the beginning, but he kept on giving objections. And even after he said, Sarvametad ritang banye yang mang vadisi keshava, yep, I accept everything you say is true. It seems that Krishna wasn't fully convinced because he went on for another 8 chapters after that. He just wanted to make sure before he popped the question and said, okay, what are you going to do now? I've said everything I wanted to say. Now what are you going to do? So Arjuna at least theoretically understood that what everything Krishna says is perfect, but Krishna wanted to speak some more and solidify that. So, all you nice brahmacharis studying, that brahmachari life is especially meant for surrender. The brahmachari has to live as a slave, dasavan, nichaha. Das, the word is translated as servant, sometimes translated as slave also. You have to do what you're taught. Life of discipline. It can be hard. Can be very hard. If one's mind is in it, then it becomes easy. If one's mind is thinking, I want so many things, then it becomes difficult. The brahmachari life is training how to control the mind. That's in all schools. Whether the Vaishnava school or the impersonalist school or the yoga school, it's all for controlling the mind with the aim of focusing the mind. But if the mind is left loose, then it can't be focused. So the brahmachari training is there that surrender the mind. Just do what you're told. Dasavan acharan nicha. One should be like a slave and very lowly and accept orders. Just like the child does what the mother, just do what I say. Well, why shouldn't I drink this nice liquid? It looks very nice. Oh, it's some toilet cleaner. It looks very nice. Why shouldn't I drink it? Just do what I say. Explain, it'll poison you. What does that mean? Can I try and see? Just do what I say. So that's that trust, that if you just do what I say, that everything will be perfect. And if you don't, then the mind is out of control, and we see it's quite common that someone's living as a brahmachari and they seem to be doing quite well. Then after some time on some plea or another, they want to go independently, and that's allowed. Grihastha ashram is there. They shouldn't pretend to be a brahmachari if they're svechachari. They're just going around as they like on their own. And you become a grihastha. That's also ashram. But there is some, within the grihastha ashram, there may be some illusory sense of independence. If I live in the ashram, the brahmachari ashram, it's so rigid and disciplined, at least at home, I can get up when I like. You can't get up when you like, you have to get up and go to work. It might be, instead of getting up at 3:30, it might be 5:30. But of course, getting up at 3:30 is better for spiritual life. But now I can relax. It's so wonderful, I can sleep till 5:30, but then you have to go enjoying the Maya Sukh of sleeping instead of the Brahma Sukh of getting up in the Brahma Muhurta and joining the Kirtan. Of course, you don't have to do that in Grihastha Ashram. There's so many Grihasthas who join the Mangal Arati here every morning at 4:30. But brahmachari means he has to submit his mind to the guru, guru's representatives. Otherwise, he's carried away on the manoratam, the chariot of the mind, which drives him here and there. Oh, the drunken driver. You may have had the experience of being in a bus when the driver is drunk. Yeah, everyone's nodding their head. It's a common thing in India. And it's quite frightening, isn't it? Because they put the gear down full and it's quite frightening. So it's like that. If we don't submit our mind to be controlled, then it's like having a drunken driver in charge of our life. The mind can be controlled also in grihastha life. In fact, if the mind is not controlled, then you are not living in grihastha ashram. And uncontrolled mind means hell. People are living in hell Where is hell? It's between the right side of your cranium and the left side. That's where it is. If one is not of controlled mind, then he's looking here and there, what is there to enjoy? This book distribution is a very good way to control the mind. It's automatic. It's automatic that if you're going to do it, then you really have to surrender. This is the surrender. What is the brahmacharis, their mind is controlled by their surrender to their guru. And then when they learn to control their mind, then they can go and be a good grihastha. Good brahmacharis make good grihasthas. When the mind is controlled, then you can go. Then you have the independence to go. Until the mind is controlled, at least to an extent that one will not indulge in gross sinful activities, then one should remain in the brahmacharya ashram. Then he should go and marry. Or remain a brahmachari for life. That book distribution, that's a great opportunity. We may think, well, Bali Maharaj, see, he had the opportunity to surrender, but I don't see Vamana coming to me. He had the opportunity. How am I going to get such an opportunity? But we have the opportunity, this book distribution, now the book distribution marathon is going. It's very good for training in surrender, because there's no sense gratification. Eating and sleeping are there just to exactly to maintain the body so that one can go on with the service. They're meeting difficult people, and we just have to keep on concentrating. Sometimes the people are nice also. Most people, when we approach them in most places, they don't want to take a book. Their immediate response is they don't want to take. There have been some places, I remember twice in Malaysia especially. One place I went to is on Janmashtami, some small town somewhere in northeast Malaysia. And no one had ever been there for book distribution. Everyone was taking. So it may be like that. But generally, people's initial reaction, oh, someone wants to sell me something. And immediately, they don't want to give. That's their immediate reaction. So to get them to take a book, it requires a great concentration, great focus, with the attitude that I'm here to please Srila Prabhupada, Guru, and Krishna, praying for their mercy. It's a great training in surrender, if we can do it. We can see, actually, who is surrender. Of course, it may not be. I for several months, I was with a devotee, one of my godbrothers, back in the 1970s. There were three of us on a traveling party, Kalyapani, as they called him, who's passed away now, and Medhavi and myself. And Kalyapani and myself, we were, every week, we were among the top distributors in terms of book distributors, and Medhavi was quite low, but he was trying every day, but somehow he couldn't, it just didn't click. And then later he went to South Africa, and he became a very, very, very big. And so, because he kept on trying, it didn't come to him naturally. So it may not be that someone who's not selling so much, so many books, is less surrendered. And it might be that someone has some natural gift which they engage in Krishna's service. So we can't necessarily say that someone who's distributing many books is more surrendered. Of course, if we see devotees going year after year after year, just like we see in the Sankirtan newsletter, we see every week for decades now, Bhrigupati, his name is there. He must be over 70 years old. He's still going out in Los Angeles every day, distributing books, still one of the top distributors. In Denver, there's Nidra Mataji, Prabhupada disciple. She's going out every day, distributing books. Her name comes. So they're for sure, they're surrendered. But it is a great test. If someone doesn't want to do that, or they don't want to do it, or if you do it, you can make a lot of advancement very quickly. It's like that saying Srila Prabhupada, he quoted the Bengali saying, Shadan Kara, Bhajan Kara, Murti Janlehoi. That at the time of death, we will understand who's been doing their sadhana and their bhakti, everything very nicely. That will be tested at death. But then going out on book distribution, that even before death, we can see, at least if one is really trying with heart and soul. And it can be very difficult, can be very discouraging. When people, they don't want to talk to you, they insult you, they just say no, no, and you go no, 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 person after person. It's difficult not to get discouraged. But then again, that gives the opportunity to surrender more and more and more to Krishna. So we may not get one huge opportunity to surrender on the spot like Bali did, but book distribution or any other service, we have the opportunity to surrender at every moment throughout our lives. We can remember Bali Maharaj all the time, how we have to, because the mind is like that, we'll say, no, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do this. In the back of the mind, there's always Maya is whispering, but no, just put that aside. And yes, I must do it. Let me do it. Every moment is the opportunity to surrender to Krishna. And that is the mercy of the Supreme Lord, that he gives us this opportunity. As Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out, any situation, it may seem a very bad situation. Generally we talk about, in a general way, we talk about good situations, favorable situation for advancement, unfavorable situation. There's no perfectly favorable situation. If we have a nice association of devotees who are very sincerely trying, and the temple, the kirtans are very uplifting and inspiring, there may be very good circumstances. But maybe we maybe find ourselves in a situation where not at all favorable. But still we have to go on with our surrender to Krishna, as we can understand Bali Maharaj was doing, and before him Prahlad Maharaj was doing. They were in the most unfavorable situation. They were surrounded by demons. No one was encouraging them in Krishna consciousness. They went on with their Krishna consciousness anyway. So there's so many lessons to be learned from this, and I'll finish here today. And Krishna willing, may discuss some more topics. We should go on discussing throughout our lives and life after life. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarupyas chakripa sindhu bhavacha padita nam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha. Dante nithaya churnakam padiyo nipatya kritva chakaku shatameta raham ravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat chaitan gauranga chandra charane kurutana.